Amen. Wow. I'm excited to be here tonight. Are you? I want you to be receptive tonight because you never know when Jesus is going to say something special to you. So make sure you listen. Amen. You see, we are missionaries in the third largest unreached nation of the world, the United States. China is first, India is second, but the United States, what a statistic to be in, isn't it? The third largest unreached country, and that's so, so sad. There are close to 10 million people who own and operate motorcycles in this country. And out of that 10 million people, there's about 3% who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's part of the problem with this country. And God has called Brenda and I to reach the bikers of America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of you are probably going, why in the world do you want to do that? Sometimes I ask that God that same question. But you see, Jesus loves bikers too, amen? Jesus loves bikers too. And we're just so excited to be out there working for God, traveling around the country, ministering to the bikers of this world, amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. I would start this up, but you probably wouldn't have hearing after I started it up. Amen. Thanks, Speed the Light. Appreciate what they've given us. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Help me to minister in power and truth. Touch the hearers of your word, Lord. Ignite a flame in their hearts, Lord, to reach this city, to reach this state, and to reach this country for you. In your holy, precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, how in the world did Brenda and I get started into this? How did we get called into this ministry? Well, see, I was born and raised Catholic. And I knew everything there was to know about God up here, but I never had Jesus in my heart. And through the ministry of an associate pastor of a church in North Missouri, this pastor kept reaching out to David and kept reaching out to me and accepting me for who I was. And one night over in an altar area like this, down at the altar, I knelt and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I told God at that time, I said, God, I'll go and do whatever it is that you asked me to do. Well, if you tell God you're going to do that, you need to be ready to go. Amen. You see, I got saved in this church, filled with the Holy Spirit, almost 20 years ago this month, and called into ministry. And the pastor saw the change and transformation in my life that he got us involved in doing ministry in the church, and we were working in the church. Because, see, when somebody comes to an altar and they give their heart to the Lord, there needs to be some discipleship, some people coming along beside them to help them, to nurture them, and to train them. Amen? And the pastor, see, I was 34 years old. I was a statistic that wasn't supposed to happen. And we began to do ministry in that church. And the pastor got us doing the only type of ministry that was available. When I told him I was called into ministry, he got us in doing senior citizen ministry. And then God moved us into youth pastoring. And you know, there's really not a whole lot of difference between senior citizen ministry and youth pastoring, except senior citizens get to drive home after an activity. I've broken up some food fights before with senior citizens in restaurants. But ultimately, Brenda and I felt that our calling was to come along beside pastors and to help a pastor out, to fulfill the call that God has placed on a pastor's life. And so, you know, to do that, you need to understand a little bit about what a pastor goes through. And so God took us to a place 8,100 feet in the mountains of Colorado to pastor for a season. And God began to shape us and mold us and train us and show us all the things that could happen in pastoral ministry, and then praise the Lord, he delivered us from pastoring. And I say that kind of jokingly, but I want you to know something. I honor, show honor and respect pastors. I encourage you on a daily basis. Lift your pastor, the pastoral staff up in prayer and their families, because many of us never know what they go through or have to face on a daily basis. So I encourage you to do that. Amen? You see, when God delivered us from the pastoral ministry, then God opened the doors for us to become associate pastors. And man, we were just happy and content. You know when you're following God and God opens that door and you're just so excited and everything's going great and you just know that you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be. Amen? And we were working in this church, helping the pastor fulfill the call that God had placed on his lives. We were doing outreach ministries like they talked about this morning and just reaching the lost in the community, and we were so happy. 3.5 years we worked in that church. And then God said, David, it's time for you to go. I said, okay, God, you know, I'm willing to follow you with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul, but where do you want us to go? You need to leave and step out in faith. And so that's what we did. We resigned our position, didn't have a clue where we were supposed to go or what kind of ministry we were supposed to do. We were kind of like the Israelites when they were at the River Jordan and it was at flood stage and they got to get across to the other side. So how do you take that step? One step at a time. And as soon as they stepped in the water backed up and they walked across on dry ground. And that's what Brennan and I did. We just took that step of faith and said, okay, God, I'm going to follow you, and we're going to trust in you to open those doors that need to be open. And we'd pray, and this was in December, and we'd pray, and we'd seek the face of God, and we'd pray, and we'd talk about it. We'd pray together at different times, and we still wasn't hearing anything from God. You know, and I don't know about you folks, but I'm a hard-headed Italian, and I don't guess you have to be Italian to be hard-headed. But I kind of like to see it written in the sky. David, this is where I want you to go. This is waiting around and reading scripture and trying to find out where it is. It just drives me crazy. But sometimes we have to do that, amen? Sometimes we have to do that. And we kept praying. The new year came about and God began to work in our hearts. And I remember it was a beautiful January day, and it was on Interstate 44 out here, and we were driving down the interstate, and as we were driving down the interstate, there was a group of people, about six guys and some riders on the back on bikes, motorcycles. I told Brynn, I said, honey, I said, wouldn't it be awesome? Before I could finish that statement, she said, minister to bikers. And I thought, oh dear God, he's talking to her. Well, a prerequisite for motorcycle ministry is what? You got to have a motorcycle. We hadn't owned a motorcycle for several years. And first of all, how do you reach this subculture group of people? How do you minister to these bikers? Have you seen a lot of them in Springfield driving around? Some of them are pretty crazy. How do you minister to them? And God said, David, you guys need to go to where these people are. I said, okay, God. So I began to research and began to seek out and say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. So I began to find out where some of these motorcycle clubs, these groups were at. Anybody know where they meet? Some biker bars. There's biker bars in this town. See, I never took Brenda to a bar when we weren't saved, and now I was getting ready as a believer to take her into some place like this. God, you're crazy. I found out where one of these clubs were meeting, and I told Brenda, I said, honey, I said, you stay home tonight. If I call you with my cell phone, call the police to come get me. Because I wasn't for sure what was going to transpire or take place. I was scared to death of my life, and I wasn't for sure what I was walking into. All I knew is God said, David, you go. And I walked into this smoke-filled, alcohol-smelling environment. And I looked around the room and I saw these long-haired, no-hair, piercing, leather-wearing, tattooed people. I said, God, what am I doing here? And he said, David, remember that time that you told me that you would go and do whatever it is that I asked you to do? I said, yes, Lord. He says, I want you to love these people. Now, I responded to God like every good believer would do and say, God, are you crazy? Why do you want somebody like that in heaven? And he said, David, I wanted you. You see, church, we need to understand something, that just because somebody looks a certain way, acts a certain way, talks a certain way, smells a certain way, doesn't mean Jesus Christ doesn't love them. Because inside of everybody is hidden treasure. And that hidden treasure needs to be redeemed by the great treasure hunter, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came into this world to do what? To seek and save that which was lost. And outside of our churches all over America tonight, there's a whole lot of lost. And God began to birth in Brenda and I a love for a group of people, a subculture group of people in this country that a whole lot of people don't want anything to do with. And you know what? That's okay, because that's where he's called us to go. And God began to birth in our hearts a love to minister and reach out to these people. How do you reach out to these guys? How do you get involved in them? You have to go where they go, and you have to build relationships with people. You know, I don't know many of you people here tonight. And if I wanted to introduce Jesus to you, you at least need to see Jesus in me. Amen? And you need to be excited about Jesus. Because if you're not excited about Jesus, how do you expect to tell somebody else about Jesus? Amen? I had an evangelist tell me one time, he said, you should be so excited about Christ that if a mosquito flew around, landed on you and bit you, it'd fly off singing, there's power in the blood. But too many of us are always gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm just this old boring Christian. Look at me. No, Jesus, if allowed to come into a heart, will change a life. He'll heal the brokenhearted. He'll deliver people of all kinds of addictions, drugs. And he'll even save the self-righteous church person. Amen? We've got to have Jesus living us. And I tell you what, Brenda and I couldn't go do what we do if we didn't have Jesus living in our hearts and we weren't excited about reaching the lost. Jesus sees hidden treasure. Because I'm reminded in Scripture, there was this 80-year-old guy who had committed murder and went off to some remote part of the desert. But one day he had a burning bush experience with God. And God saw hidden treasure in a guy by the name of Moses. Jesus sees hidden treasure. You look at somebody and you think, I don't want that person in heaven. Jesus does. One time we were talking to our director of chaplaincy, and there's this biker dude that just aggravates you and just rubs you raw all the time. And Brenda asked him, she said, you know, is it wrong to pray this guy becomes a Muslim? And he looked at her, and we smiled and said, yeah, it's hard enough living with him here on earth. I don't know if I could spend eternity with him if he gets saved. But Jesus sees hidden treasure in that guy by the name of Duke. Amen? Jesus sees hidden treasure. How do you reach these people? Well, you know what? One of the best ways you can reach somebody is through their stomach. And if you meet a physical need for somebody, you meet this physical need, then that opens the doors for many opportunities for you to share Jesus Christ. And Brenda and I travel around the United States ministering at motorcycle rallies, rides, functions, wherever there's people gathering around this country. At these big events, we travel around, and you know what we do? We minister to people through a physical need. And sometimes we'll offer free coffee, and sometimes we'll go to Sturgis, South Dakota, and do free pancake breakfast every morning. And sometimes we go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, for Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, and we give away 250 pounds of barbecue pork steak. But we go and we set up our ministry tents and our ministry outreach sites, and we set up and begin to do ministry to these people. And everybody who comes at one of our events to drink coffee, orange juice, water, or whatever, Light for the Lost is a blessing to us. I don't know if you guys, any Light for the Lost councilmen here, but Brent and I thank you. You're a blessing to us because Light for the Lost helps us tremendously. These are cups that they buy for us. It says, God's love, like the contents of this cup, is free, but you must receive it for yourself. And on the back it says, how to find God's plan for your life, the ABCs of salvation. They get the gospel message. by drinking a cup. Now, it's their choice to receive it, but that just opens the door many times for us to sit down and do ministry. Light for the Lost also helps us with Bibles. A lot of times we'll set up at our ministry outreach places. We'll place our Bibles, our Hope for the Highway New Testament Bible that we use. We also have these little ministry tracks that says Jesus would have ridden a motorcycle. I believe that if he'd have been here on this earth. He's a man's man. He wasn't no wimpy guy. He probably had a fast donkey, Pastor. Jesus would have been a biker. Why? He was a lot like you and me. The government didn't like him. Religious people thought he was strange. His close friends were few. And what friends he had denied him, and he was persecuted by those who didn't understand him. He preferred hanging around people like you and me, not the self-righteous hypocrites. Yes, if Jesus were on this earth in the flesh, he'd be next to you on his motorcycle, telling you he loved you enough to die for you. You probably never understand how a track works, and I still don't understand, except the Spirit of God takes it and puts it where it needs to be. But I was doing a service in the Boot Hill of Missouri one day, and this pastor double booked me to speak in the Teen Challenge singing group. And he was worried, and I said, "Don't worry, Pastor, God's got this under control." The Teen Challenge group sang, I got up and preached, and I talked about this, and a guy from Teen Challenge came up to me after the service. He said, "Brother Paleo," he said, "I got one of those tracks." I said, "How in the world did you do that?" And he began to tell me and share with me that he is from one of the 1%er biker club groups in this area. He'd done some things wrong and got thrown in prison. And somehow somebody heard us speak one time and picked up some of these tracks and took them to the prison. He said, "I ran across one of those tracks and I began to read that track." And he said, "God did something to my heart." And he said, "And I gave my heart to Jesus. But you know, the most exciting thing was God reduced my sentence in prison. And now he was in a Teen Challenge studying to become a pastor." A piece of paper, amen? Jesus sees hidden treasure. Sometimes he just needs people to go and take and talk to people about this. Amen? Sturgis, South Dakota, we talked about as we were there and we're doing our ministry. Last August, we gave out almost 70 gallons of coffee, free coffee. We had orange juice that we gave away, 64 gallons of orange juice. And every morning, Brenda and I would get up at 4:30 and start making the coffee, and we'd get ready at our special spot. It's a block and a half off of Main Street in downtown Sturgis. We have a building with a big banner that's 6 foot by 8 foot wide, white with red letters that say, "Free pancakes." We're the only place in Sturgis that doesn't charge. We began serving pancakes, and we served over 780-some people last year pancakes. Now, you have to understand, not everybody eats one. I've never seen one person eat one pancake. The average is 5, so you can multiply that and tell how many pancakes we flipped last year. But you know what? The more you get people to come in and sit and eat and drink coffee, the more that I can minister Jesus' love. There was a guy by the name of Gene who came into our outreach. Gene had been coming into our outreach for the last 3 years. The first year Gene came in, you couldn't share nothing about Jesus. He didn't even want to talk about it. But he'd come in and he'd eat free pancakes. Every single morning he'd eat. The second year he came in and Gene was sitting there at the table. I said, "Hey Gene, take one of these Bibles with you. Take one of those books with you," is what I said. "Okay, I'll take one of them." This year he comes into the rally, a big old grin on his face. I said, "Gene, how you doing?" He said, "Chaplain Dave," he said, "I'm so glad to see you this year." And I said, "Well, Gene, what's up?" He said, "I didn't know if you'd be here." He says, "But you know that book that you gave me last year?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I took that book home," and he says, "I want to share something with you." And he started looking through it. He said, "It's in the book of Psalms." I praise God, the guy's reading the book. He was so happy, and he finally found that scripture in Psalms. And as he read it, tears are coming out of his eyes. Through a period of a year time, Gene had given his heart to the Lord, and Gene had come back. Gene allowed us to pray with him and just pray blessings over him. There's another guy from Minnesota. His name is Ray. Ray came all the way in from Minnesota to Sturgis, South Dakota rally, and he began to eat pancakes with us, and he began to talk to me, and I sat down with him and began to just love on this guy. And I said, "Hey, Ray, I'm preaching at the church across the street in a few minutes. Why don't you come over?" "Oh, I don't know. We'll see." I went over and began the church service, and as I began to speak, I looked out in the audience, and there was Ray in the back. I got to the end. I did the altar call, and Ray came forward and gave his heart to the Lord that day. I got an email from Ray at the end of December, 1st of January, and he said, "Chaplain David and Chaplain Brenda," he said, "I just want to thank you for being there." He said, "It hasn't been an easy road for me," and he began to share with me the things that he had went through. But he said, "Thank you for being there in Sturgis to lead me to a guy that could help me through all these problems." Jesus sees hidden treasure in these people. There was another guy who came into Sturgis. He'd have his ball cap down, and he'd wear sunglasses and dark glasses, and you couldn't see his eye, and he had these big tattoos and stuff all over him and piercings, and Chuck was his name. Chuck would never say anything, but he'd come in, "I'll take 3 pancakes today." Come in again, and "I'll take 5 pancakes." And he'd eat, and we'd give him, and we'd serve him, and we'd minister to him. And we just kept loving on him. Got to see Chuck last year. While we were living in Sturgis for a little bit of time, Chuck came to where we were living. He said, "Hey, I need to talk to you a minute." I said, "Okay." I said, "It'd be just a minute." So I had a handful of stuff. I set it down. We sat on this bench, and I began to sit down and listen to Chuck. And Chuck told me, he said, "You know I'm a Satanist, don't you?" I said, "Well, I could kind of figure that." He had tattooed on his neck, 666. He said, "Something happened to me last night." He says, "I don't know what happened." He says, "But I was sitting in my room." And he said, "And all of a sudden I felt this hand touch the back of my hand. That hand worked itself up to the back of my neck." And he says, "I didn't know what else to do but cry out." Then he stopped and looked at me, "Pastor," and says, "So now what do I do?" I led Chuck to Jesus. That was in April, May. It was in April last year. At the rally came around in August, I saw Chuck, and Chuck had a smile on his face. He said, "Chaplain Dave, I'm so glad you're here." He said, "Things are going great for me." That's because you got Jesus living inside of you, amen? Jesus sees hidden treasure in these people that the world wants to throw away as misfits. And sometimes we have to recognize that whoever God puts in your path, just because they look a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way, Jesus sees hidden treasure in all these people. Amen? We have just been so excited and thankful that God's allowed us to do this and to travel around ministering. Sometimes when you minister to biker groups and biker clubs, and we didn't have a clue when we first went into this ministry, but you got to come up with a motorcycle riding name. You're just not called Chaplain David or Chaplain Brenda. You got to have this biker name. And sometimes it represents the person. And so we're thinking, okay, Lord, what are we doing here? So Brenda began to pray to God that God would help us get some biker names, okay? So this is the name. Hers is Allie, and mine's Gator. Allie, Gator. You see, some of these groups we minister to, I don't know their real names. And so, you know, they got all these different names, and I finally told him, I said, "Man, if you get hurt and I come see you in a hospital, I need to know what your real name is, because if I pull up and say, 'Hey, I'm looking for Top Gun or ISIS or Peanut,' they're going to think I'm crazy as a chaplain, so I need to know who you are." So they did give me a list of their names. But one of these guys came up to me. We were at one of these biker events, and his biker name is Nobody. And Nobody came up to me. He said, "Hey, Gator." He says, "I need you to remember my wife." And I said, "Well, what's up?" He says, "She's pregnant for the 4th time. She's had 3 miscarriages." He said, "I need you to remember her." I said, "You know what? Brent and I are going to pray for her." So we began to pray for Nobody and Nobody's wife, Tinkerbell, that they would have. Didn't say we were all smart. That she would deliver a healthy baby. Well, if you don't believe, don't ask. Because my God answers prayers according to His will. Well, Nobody and Tinkerbell, they have a boy. He's about 6 years old now. His biker name is Somebody. But But one of the things I need you to do is I need you to pray. Nobody doesn't know who Jesus is. So every church we go to and where we speak and we ask the churches to please pray, nobody gets saved. A few of you got that. I believe it's going to happen, amen, because the more we minister to nobody, the more we share with him. I talked to him the other day. I said, hey, nobody. I said, God's really impressed upon me to pray for you. He said, Gator, you can pray for me anytime you want. Why? Because he understands that something happened in his life. God saw hidden treasure in a guy by the name of Nobody. So we need to pray that nobody gets his heart right so somebody will have a heavenly Father, amen? So keep praying. One of these days you're going to get up my newsletter and the headlines are going to say, Nobody got saved. So we can rejoice with me, amen? So it's interesting as we travel around the country, the WMs of the Southern Missouri District, they raised over $10,000. You can see the picture at our booth back there for a cook trailer. You know, we were cooking on small appliances and griddles and things like this, and they said, hey, we need to help you out. We need to bless you. And Sister Welch from the district office said, you know, I think we need to raise money for a cook trailer. And I said, okay, how much? She said, $10,000. I thought, okay, we'll see if this ever happens. So we went to WM retreat. We told the ladies what we were doing, and Sister Welch is down front with me, and we're in the chapel up at the lake. And I said, you know what, Sister Welch, if you hop on the back of this motorcycle, I said, I'll ride out the chapel, and I bet we get our money raised. Oh, she said, Brother Pantleo said that if I hopped on this motorcycle, I'm scared to death to ride. I said, you need to hop on it, and let's go. She hopped on the back of this motorcycle. We went out the camp's chapel up there and drove around the grounds, came back. 45 minutes, she goes, is the Pantleos here? Yeah, they raised $10,000 in 45 minutes to have a custom cook trailer. So that cook trailer has a big 4-foot griddle, a big smoker on it that allows us to travel around and cook pancakes easier, a 10-gallon cast iron jambalaya pot that we can do pork and beans or all kinds of things. And you know what? We picked up that trailer just at the right time that we got to take it to Joplin for 8 days. And we were down in an area with one of the Assemblies of God churches that was hit in a residential area cooking for 8 days to over 1,541 people. Breakfast and lunch every day. Awesome how God uses things and knows the appropriate time when all this takes place. Jesus sees hidden treasure in all types of people, amen? I'll tell you another story about a guy by the name of Rum Runner. Rum Runner came up to me at one of my motorcycle club meetings one time and he said, Gator, he said, I almost called you the other day. I said, why didn't you? I didn't think you'd have your cell phone on and I keep it with me. It's on vibrate, hopefully. But I said, it's with me all the time. Why didn't you call? I didn't think you'd have it. I said, what's up? He said, Gator, he said, I was standing on top of Table Rock Dam the other night about to jump off. He said, and I heard this voice say, call Gator. He said, Gator, I knew that if I jumped, I would never hear what you were going to tell me. But I knew that you would be in our club meeting. And I looked at him and said, what's up, Rum Runner? He said, Gator, I'm a worthless dad and a worthless husband. And he was terrible. Wasn't any good at that jobs. But he said, I had gotten to the point in my life that I thought the best way I could fix it was to end it. Until I heard that voice say, call you. Call Gator. And I looked at this guy and said, okay, God, help me out here. And I looked at him and said, you know what, Rum Runner? I said, Jesus loves you. And no matter what you've done in the past, that if you'll just trust in him tonight, he'll forgive you of that past and you can start over if you'd like to do that. And as tears are coming down this guy's cheeks, he gave his heart to the Lord that night. And I look back at that time and opportunity and I think, God, you've taken this North Missouri farm boy and you put us into a culture of people that I'm not familiar with. But because you've opened that doors for us, and I told you I'd go wherever it is that you wanted me to go, you brought people to Brenda and I who needed Jesus. And Brent and I last year alone traveled almost 40,000 ministry miles around this country, taking our cook trailer, the Speed of Light motorcycle, doing different things, different outreaches, working here locally at some of the clubs and ministering different things like that. And Brent and I personally got to pray with 58 people to accept Jesus Christ. God sees hidden treasure in all kinds of people. Amen. We are honored, we are humbled to be here to share U.S. missions because I believe that's my heart, America. And we're thankful that Pastor Jeff allowed us to come, but we need something from you tonight. Please stop by and pick up a missionary prayer card. You're going to see a picture, and probably many of you will recognize the cemetery, and you're going to think, boy, Pastor Jeff, these are weirdos. But you know what? God gave us this place at Green Lawn Cemetery North that we're supposed to get our picture taken because we're to be roadblocks to keep people from going to the grave without knowing Jesus Christ. On the front of the card, it says, eternity is all that really matters. Where will you spend it? On the back, it has our information website. If you're on Facebook, you can find us on Facebook, whatever. But take this and pray for us. We go places many times where there's more guns and knives and saddlebags than there are motorcycles. But we just thank God that He's there to protect us and watch over us. You see, God calls two types of people. Those who will go and those who will send, which are you tonight. Amen. I need you to bow your heads for just a second. Jesus sees hidden treasure in all types of people. And just because we look at somebody and don't realize, you know, that that's not our type of person that we want in heaven, doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love them. And Jesus sees hidden treasure in each and every one of you here tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and make Him Lord of your life, tonight's your opportunity. If you need Jesus, I want you to raise your hand because Brennan, I want to pray with you. Do you need Jesus tonight? Or maybe you're here and one time you came to an altar and you said a prayer and you've gotten up and for some reason the things of this world have gotten you down and you've kind of just fallen away from a personal relationship with Christ and you become cold. You need to come back to Him tonight. Is that you? I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Is that you? Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the pastors and the staff here, Lord. I thank You that they help many missionaries around this world, Lord. I ask blessings upon them. Continue to use this church in a mighty, powerful way. In Your holy name, I pray. Amen.